If you are having some issues, whoops, that's the wrong slide. If you are having some issues with our sound and video on Facebook, I want to remind you that all of our sermons are recorded and posted later on our website, if you'd like to review them. This is Stewardship Month, the month of October. I invite you to stick with us all month. Yes, there's going to be some hard conversations, but I promise you, it will be freeing to understand God's will and purpose for our lives. So, we'll be using Tom Berlin's study, Defying Gravity, Break Free from the Culture of More. And today's sermon is Discovering Gravity. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In his book and study series, Defying Gravity, Tom Berlin writes, on January 4th, 2015, Twitter and Facebook posts began to circulate this message. NASA, January 4th, 9:47 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The long-awaited planetary alignment will cause a gravitational fluctuation that will leave you weightless for a short period of time. Hashtag be ready. The story was that a British astronomer, Patrick Moore, predicted that on that morning, an extraordinary astronomical event would occur. At exactly 9:47 a.m., the planet Pluto would pass directly behind Jupiter in relation to the Earth. This rare alignment would mean that the combined gravitational force of the two planets would exert a stronger upward gravitational pull, temporarily counteracting the Earth's own gravity and making people weigh less. The story added that people could experience this phenomenon by jumping in the air at the precise moment that the alignment occurred. If they did so, Moore promised, they would experience this strange floating sensation. People all over the world lofted themselves into the air at 9:47 a.m., only to discover that they could not escape Earth's gravity so easily. It was a hoax. Ever since Sir Isaac Newton identified what made apples fall to the ground, we have known that gravity is a consistent and unfailing force in our universe. We don't even realize that it is ordering our world right now. So, at the time this hoax came out, I was pastoring a church that consisted of about 80% children's, teens, and young adults. Many of them, right in the middle of my sermon at 11:47 Central Time, which would have been 9:47 Pacific Time, right in the middle of the sermon, stood up and jumped. They had planned it. This hoax had been all over the internet, social media, and not only that, I'm trying to preach, and they kept jumping, wanting to believe. In fact, several of them shouted, "Did you feel that? I think I was floating." So convinced of this myth that their minds perceived a reality that simply wasn't there. So, wanting to believe that, at least for a moment, that they had somehow conquered nature, had defied one of the most basic understandings of how their world works, their own minds deceived them. Their disappointment when they realized the hoax was palpable. No, they couldn't float. It couldn't fly. At least not just by jumping up in the air at some moment. So I quickly shifted the sermon. It was Epiphany Sunday, and so I quickly shifted it to explore ways that we can fly, that all was not lost. You see, the ways we can see God are immeasurable, and sometimes our own desire to take a shortcut often won't allow us to see what's right in front of us. It's what I began to preach. And I began to tell them, we can fly now. And we have been able to for a long time. We have jets and we have airplanes and we have rockets. And not only that, they use the force of gravity to propel us to the heavens. So much energy we sometimes spend trying to defy this force instead of using it to our advantage. How is this applicable in other areas of our lives, I asked. So, Tamburlaine tells us there is another force that is working around us all the time. Just as gravity exits in the natural world, financial gravity exists in the financial world. Financial gravity exists in the economic world in which you and I live each day. Financial gravity is generated by the culture and economy in which we live. Like Earth's gravity, it's necessary for our existence. Every human being has certain needs, such as food, shelter, and clothing. The hunter-gatherers of old had to produce these things, and we still do for ourselves and those we love. Problems with financial gravity arise when that force is felt with such intensity that it begins to control us. And you notice financial gravity when you open an internet browser and you see ads posted for items that are magically in the styles and colors you like. It was kind of freaky last night. I grabbed my knee because it was hurting. 10 seconds later, there was an ad for knee pain. You feel this financial gravity when you walk down the streets of the local town center with its eclectic mix of retail stores. Just walk down 2nd Street, specialty stops, cinemas, and restaurants. Every shopping mall, just enter it. It's palpable, this financial gravity, and it tries to pull you inside each time you pass a store. You see, the key to financial gravity is to experience the force in just the right proportion. I want to show you a video that Tom uses in his study series. Tom says that all of us feel the force of our needs. These are normal things of life. As an adult, you have to figure out the income that can provide for those needs. Needs are like the weights stacked on this training sled. A short list might include food, shelter, clothing, and the things that allow you to work and live, such as transportation and communication. These are good things. They make us stronger. The problem is that we live in a society that constantly tells us we will be better off if we have more and better things. Soon, we move well beyond our needs into the zone of wants. For most people, the list of wants is never short. A newer car, a better model, a faster computer, a larger income, a flatter TV, a designer dress or suit, an expensive hobby. As we add these things to our lives, we can feel the added force of financial gravity holding us back, holding us down. What we hoped would bring us freedom actually brings us exhaustion. Like the man in the video, we are harnessed to our possession in ways that wear us out. On the other extreme, when we have too little financial gravity, our world is out of control. Expenses are accrued with no sense of connection to income. College students who don't know the difference between spending money and managing money have to call home regularly for a checking account refill. These students are floating in space without enough financial gravity to hold them down or back. So how strong is your financial gravity? Is it perhaps too weak to keep you grounded and strong? Do you feel you're floating, never gaining ground or strength? Or is it too strong because of the extra weight you have put upon it? Is it constantly weighing you down, dragging you, instead of you controlling it? Does the financial gravity of your experience make you stronger, or does it break you? In our parents' and grandparents' day, saving, waiting, planning, being frugal was considered a compliment. Now I often hear the opposite. You see everything from commercials to social media posts belittling those who don't keep the latest cars, shaming those who don't eat out several times a week and experience all the latest trendy restaurants. Or sometimes it's even chastised under the guise of YOLO, you only live once. Buy this new thing, it says, worry about the rent later. You deserve this daily coffee, says the many Facebook feeds. You deserve this fast food meal, this shiny object. After all, you worked hard for it. You can worry about your bills another day. As my children grow towards adulthood, and as they grow towards independence, we often do this exercise together. If you have a calculator or your little phone, there's one on there. We can do it together now. So how much is your daily latte if you go out? $4? Okay, you're not getting the venti, you're only getting the grande. $4, let's say five times a week. It's $20. That fast food meal for you and your family, if you go really cheap, it's $30 for the family. Let's say you have to do it two times a week. That's $60. That DoorDash or Postmates or Uber Eats delivery for you and a friend, say once a week, if you go on the cheap, it's $40. Those quick trips to grab a drink at the drive-thru or the 7-Eleven, after all, it's just a drink, it's not much. Let's say you do that a few times a week, it's probably $10 a week. Lunch is out at work instead of packing one. Let's say they average probably much more than this, but let's say they average $10 a day. That's $50 a week. This all adds up to $180 per week, or $9,360 per year. And that doesn't even count the expenditures on the latest gadgets, shoes, other mindless spending. Did you know It just takes $27.40 per day in miscellaneous spending, and you see how easy it is to accumulate that. You don't think you're doing it, but we do all the time. It just takes $27.40 per day in miscellaneous spending to blow $10,000 per year. What could you and your family do with an extra $10,000 per year? Let's say you just tithed, not on your income, but your miscellaneous spending, or you increased your tithe on not 10% of your income, just your miscellaneous spending. What could our church do with an extra $1,000 per year from every adult? Could we truly make a difference in our world? Tomberlin writes, "Our complicated relationship with money and possessions is not a new problem. One day a young man approached Jesus with a question. An account can be found in Matthew 19. The young man asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?' He was a good man. He came to Jesus because he was attempting to live a good life. He came as a seeker. Jesus told him, 'Keep the commandments.' Well, he checked it off. I'm sure. I got that, Jesus." So the young man replied, "I've kept all these. What am I still missing?" Now, here's the thing about Jesus, and be careful how you pray. He knows what you're missing before you ask. So if you ask him what you're still missing, you have to be prepared for the answer Jesus is going to give you. The answer is going to be very particular to the person who's asking. You see, this young man was in love with his wealth. He used his service to God as a checklist, but his focus was on his possessions. So Jesus replied to him. Jesus said, "If you want to be complete, go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Jesus was issuing a once-in-a-lifetime offer. He could have become the 13th disciple, had changed the world, had written another gospel. Instead, he walked away. And all we know about him is that he could not change his relationship with money. It was his priority, and Jesus knew that. When the young man heard this, he went away saddened because he had many possessions. We hear this. We hear this term, "he went away." Why on earth would anyone walk away from Jesus, might be our response. How many times have we walked away? How many times have we walked away from God's calling in our lives to build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? He wanted something new. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to live fully in God, but last week he talked about love doesn't have a but. Service shouldn't either. I want to serve you, God, but Jesus knew this young man and what his reservations were and what was holding him back. He wanted to live among his possessions, and he was grieved. He could not bear to sell what was his. So his disciples asked, "Well, if it's so hard, How do we go about it? Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you that it will be very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. I'm going to take a second here to talk about the myth of the eye of the needle. So long about the 9th century and really became popular in the 15th century, as the church was amassing great wealth, property, gold, jewels, this scripture came up. And a myth started that Jesus wasn't talking about the eye of a needle. He was talking about a gate in Jerusalem where camels had to lower themselves and release themselves of their baggage, but could pull everything in one at a time. It was about humbling yourself, not letting go of your riches. So folks, this became very popular in prosperity gospel teachings. We could keep all our riches. We could pull them through. You hear that effort on we? One at a time into the kingdom. There is no such gate in all of Jerusalem. Now granted, there are the smaller gates, but they're not called the eye of the needle. This was wholly made up in order to propel a gospel of prosperity as early as the 9th century. So, the eye of the needle is the eye of a needle. And Jesus said it's easier for a camel to pass through that. But he doesn't say it's impossible. You see, the problem is not our riches. The problem is that we lose perspective. We often think that our world is the world. That's what's happening to us is the only thing that matters. And when you start hearing yourself use the word deserve, I deserve for that thing to come with me. I know it's expensive, but I deserve it. That's when we lose perspective. Most of us protect our boundaries fiercely. And notice that Jesus said it's hard to enter the kingdom of God when we feel financial gravity as strongly as this young man did. But he didn't say it's impossible. It simply means, where are your priorities? We know from the book of Acts that there were several wealthy people who supported the church and that they couldn't give away their goods, otherwise sustainability wouldn't exist. What they did and what Jesus was requiring of this young man was to give over. And that is how we pass through. Just like the Apex kids, we want to take the shortcuts. We want to string it along with us. We want to talk about how we can get around the way the world works. And this, my friends, can be one of the hardest things for us to overcome. Jesus said it's hard for people to escape financial gravity and to move into God's kingdom, but he didn't say it was impossible. All things are possible with God. So, how tied are we to our stuff? Is it holding us down or grounding us? You know, there is a distinction. Can we defy the gravity of our past and let God lead us to a prosperous future? Impossible? Yes. If we try to do it alone, if we try to drag it with us, but with God, nothing is impossible. We must give up ownership of our stuff. This means our buildings and our bank accounts and everything that the church owns. And we must give it to God. Because as long as it's ours, God won't use it. We must be good stewards of God's church, not treating it as if it's ours to possess, but God's to use. Are we waiting for 9:47 a.m. on any random Sunday morning to take the leap, thinking we can just take that shortcut? Or are we deciding together what's weighing us down, what we need to give over to God, and let God lead us to flying? So there's going to be some hard conversations ahead in the next few weeks. I invite you to fully participate. Let's decide together what our center of gravity is and how we will discover our purpose in our community and for the Church of Jesus Christ. When we let go, when we lighten up, when we let God deliver us, we let go of our burdens and we let God take them and use them. And then we are truly free. My prayer is that God would indeed deliver us today. I invite you to attend the next three Sundays for these difficult conversations in this series. And I invite you now to let go. So we have a challenge, thinking about TikTok and a hashtag challenge. I don't know, but we're going to do a Belmont Heights clean out challenge, and we're going to spread it to the community. I want you to clean out a drawer, a closet, a room, something that's weighing you down, any area of your home this week and over the next couple of weeks. Just see how it feels. The ease or the difficulty of discarding things you no longer need and no longer use will tell you a lot about the degree of financial gravity you're experiencing. Set these castaway items aside, and we'll be collecting them. The last Saturday of the month, we're going to have a few different agencies come out. Yes, we're still going to do the food pantry. Grab those cans of food that you know you're not going to need. But we're also still going to be doing school supplies, but we're going to add clothing, household items. I'm going to see if we can get some recycling out here for those electronics that are burdening, I know, our household down. And let's start now. Let's lighten our burden so that we can make space for God, to let God lead us into the spacious places where we worship in spirit and truth. Amen.